Welcome back to the Podcast That Rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke, host of the YouTube channel Rocked. Thank you for joining us. I would like to tell you how my day started. I woke up, about to head out for allergy shots in the morning. I got a message from one Crash Thompson, also a part of the Rock Coliseum. He messaged me saying he wasn't feeling too well, and then a direct message in our group chat, Luke, get ready for an, quote, interesting news day. He then shared an article from USA Today that's already been posted on other sites like Loudwire. Here's the headline. Kid Rock allegedly waves gun at reporter, used racial slurs during drunk interview. It's gonna be that type of day. And remember, this is how my day started. First off, Crash, please find better ways to send good morning messages to friends. Two, Kid Rock is absolutely doing all of this for attention, and I will bring this up and wrap it around in a different way after I go over the notes of the interview. Reporter David Peisner visited Rock's home in rural Tennessee outside of Nashville for an article that was published yesterday, May 19th. During the visit, the musician allegedly used racial slurs, particularly the N-word with a hard R, multiple times and waved his gun around at the interviewer, demanding attention and respect for it while laughing. One of the first things the interview mentioned that was done at Kid Rock's home in rural Tennessee, again, he's been pretty much disowned by Detroit and all of Michigan, that's not a joke, he lives in rural Tennessee now. Kid Rock during the interview was wearing an Uncle Tom belt buckle, a derogatory name in reference to Harriet Beecher Stowe's 1852 anti-slavery novel Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was also one of the bases for the Civil War between the North and South in the United States over slavery. Kid Rock got extremely political in the interview, quoting, "You think I like Trump because he's a nice guy? I'm not electing the deacon of a church. That man likes to win. He likes to cheat in his golf game. I want that guy on my team. I want the guy who goes, I'm going to fight with you." Peisner joined Rock in his home studio to hear some of his new music. I won't make jokes about that. And then the reporter noted, that was the moment the interview took a turn for the worse. At one point, the musician pulled out a black handgun from behind the chair and waved it around. Keep in mind, Kid Rock was drunk. Kid Rock then said to the interviewer, "I got a blank blank gun right here if I need it. I got them everywhere." I had to censor a lot of that. The interview continued, talking about the Republican Party is the one that freed the slaves, and then talked about how Trick Trick is the hardest hitting blank in Detroit. Again, I'm censoring because he dropped a racial slur there. He did it several times in the interview. He then asked a favor of the interviewer, saying, "Write the most horrific article about me. Do it. It helps me." That was mostly factual stuff from the interviewer of things that did happen. And like it says, allegedly. However, a lot of these are firsthand accounts, and Kid Rock has said many of these things in the past. So a lot of it shouldn't come as a surprise. However, drunkenly waving around a gun, slinging out the N-word, talking about slaves, wearing an Uncle Tom belt buckle. That actually is a new one. I did not know that was a thing that he did. And then asking for attention is more of the Kid Rock typical antics of the 50-something-year-old. I believe he's 52 now. I could be wrong. All I know is he's in his 50s, playing with guns, drunk in his studio, wearing an Uncle Tom belt buckle, talking about Donald Trump cheating at golf, and saying that Donald Trump will help him cheat to win also. Yes, we live in the same universe. This is not some weird fan fiction. I wanted to bring up the last statement he said about how a terrible article that's horrific will help him. Kid Rock lives under the very antiquated and skeezy Hollywood ideology that there is no such thing as bad publicity. That is factually not true. We've seen many, many people go down in flames over publicity over the years, and it keeps happening even recently. Kid Rock, who had drunken rantings of homophobic and racist slurs on record, on video footage, keeps bouncing back because his audience thinks that they are represented by Kid Rock. It's the same people supporting him. Kid Rock will not gain new fans out of this. He will just stir up his current and existing fans through political beliefs, not for his music. Kid Rock, I believe, is smart enough to know now, and yes, call Kid Rock dumb, smart, ha ha ha. Kid Rock realizes he cannot make anything off his current and new music anymore. His recent album that dived into different genres did terribly sales-wise. Streaming fell flat after a month. Recent tour plans did not go as predicted as well, as many venues actually canceled out on tour dates, and he's only done very few. He has more plans for touring this year, along with new music. However, we'll wait and see as the 2024 election is coming up and things might get muddied or delayed. made, as Kid Rock is very involved in politics, and I'll just leave it at that. Kid Rock wants the attention. He just doesn't realize he's not getting any more attention than he already had, and the attention he's getting will not help him like he thinks it does. It'll only stir up a very isolated and distinct group of racist and old-time fans who refuse to acknowledge what Kid Rock is doing. Kid Rock is a politician in music. He is playing the game, not as a musician, but as stirring up fans. He wants the namesake for that. And some of you might be thinking, well, why give Kid Rock any attention at all with all these articles and this podcast even? Because people need to know what Kid Rock is doing specifically. Wearing an Uncle Tom belt buckle in an interview is not an accident. He wants attention for that. He wants to make an excuse about it. Don't give him some crap in the article. Well, he's the one that wore it during an interview that he knew was going to happen. He wanted attention for that to stir up racist fans, along with some of the many things he said, including the hard R N-word in his interview. These are deliberate choices. The only argument there is was that, according to the interviewer, Kid Rock was drunk. Now, we already know that's happened many times, and he's been recorded many times doing terrible things while inebriated. Kid Rock, however, knew this interview was happening. He is the one waving a gun around, laughing about it in his studio, saying racist slurs and talking about Donald Trump cheating in an interview. He knows what he's doing. He wants that attention because he will get what he wants, or so he thinks. Time will tell, as Kid Rock has not had the best press or streaming numbers, income, you name it, since 2020. Since the last time he was in the news for all this mess. Hopefully some people put the pieces together and realize now that the election swing is coming up in the United States, Kid Rock is timing this all very deliberately. As I and many of my peers have said, don't listen to Kid Rock. That is what will hurt him most. That and having his liquor license taken from his restaurants, who have had to be shut down many times over the past few years. That honky tonk in Nashville isn't much of a honky tonk because they can't keep the doors open for too long without someone doing something stupid, including Kid Rock himself. The DWP festival season just closed for the season, as it will be back in the fall. This past weekend was Sonic Temple in Columbus, Ohio. This is a unique event because both Rockville and Sonic Temple played without true weather stalls and weather delays. That is a big deal, as DWP has been plagued with weather issues every spring season for many years. Some of the highlights included Slipknot playing without Clown, but still pushing through as Clown had some health issues going on. He encouraged the rest of Slipknot to play, as well as Evanescence bringing out POD Sunny, the singer, to perform Bring Me to Life with them, which is kind of a cool different take on Evanescence. Nita Strauss had David Draiman come on stage to perform Dead Inside off of Nita Strauss's latest album, The Call of the Void. And in injury news, there were two things that happened. One, there was a terrible fan incident during Sleep Token and a crowd surfer got dropped and apparently got hurt real bad. Ambulance had to be called. They couldn't get a gurney through the crowd because the crowd couldn't get separated fast enough. It was a big mess. Hopefully everyone will be okay in that. And two, just like in 2019 when Andrea from Gojira was engulfed in flame from some errant pyro, the drummer of Falling in Reverse, Luke Holland, was also hit by pyro so badly that he burned his arm. It happened three times, apparently, with pyro misfires during Falling in Reverse's cover, during Falling in Reverse's set. Make all the jokes you want. I don't want people to be hurt by burnt alive as an effigy. One of the biggest shockers, and I will share this on rock.net with the podcast post, the Misfits closed out one of the nights, and over half the crowd, well over half, said, let's call it a night early. The small amount of people remaining to see the headliner of Sonic Temple for the Misfits headline was shocking. This is what the opening of a local concert looks like without people getting there on time. It turned out, in Columbus, Ohio, no one really wanted to see the Misfits in 2024. Those are expensive tickets. And people said, nah. Hopefully things bode better for No Values Festival in San Diego later this year, as well as other performances the Misfits have planned. In some interesting statistic news, also from Loudwire, they posted an article asking about the 60 rock and metal songs with over 1 billion streams. The most interesting fact about this is the bands with the most billion song streams, at 5 each, are Queen and Arctic Monkeys. Very believable, Queen having 5 songs with over a billion streams. Arctic Monkeys The tie for number one with Queen is not a band I would have even guessed to have 1 billion songs on one song, let alone five. This was a list compiled of only rock bands and solidified rock bands. Pop rock bands or alternative things like Coldplay, Maroon 5, they were not counted. And metal bands also, like the heavier stuff, not counted either. This is rock bands old and new. Queen and Arctic Monkeys beat out bands like AC/DC, Aerosmith, many others, including the Beatles. All I can say is, good for Arctic Monkeys. That is a big accomplishment. You can find the full article on Loudwire talking about it. Many bands on here that are actually pretty impressive that actually have over a billion streams on one song. Creedence Clearwater Revival have a couple. The Eagles have one. Evanescence has one. So does Blink-182. Linkin Park has two. It goes on and on. Green Day, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses. Check it out. Worth seeing what got over a billion streams. Let me know what you think. By the way, nothing against Arctic Monkeys. I'm just saying, wow. Over every other band, they're tied for the most. That's pretty impressive. Freddie Mercury is good company to have on a list like that. In concert tour news, Seven Nuts announced the 20-year anniversary of the album Seasons and will be going on tour with 10 years. That is a cool lineup. They'll be playing Seasons in entirety. That happens later this fall and will go throughout the United States. Another tour, Nothing More's Carnal Tour, will be going out on the road, going out with Set It Off, From Ashes to New, and Post Prophet. Fun tour for that. And they'll be playing bigger venues. Tickets for that also on sale now. That tour is going to be this fall as well. Finally, another fall tour in the United States and Canada, Dropkick Murphys, going on tour with Pennywise. So if you want to ship up to Boston, that tour will be going on later this fall as well. Coming up on Rocked is a video talking about 10 more great collaborations in rock and metal. A follow-up to the top 10 list I did in 2019. This one's just an addendum, 10 more songs, not ranked. Well, these will be good ones too, ones that I actually listen to and enjoy. You can check that out soon this week on the YouTube channel Rocked, along with many other things. Patrons will get their How Did I Miss This episode at the end of the month. I have some more surprises coming, including a live stream with another YouTuber and Twitch streamer. Hopefully you'll check that out. Follow the socials when we make the announcement update. It'll be the first of a few that I'm hoping to do this summer. Thank you guys for checking it out. You can check out the YouTube and everything else going on. Please, please support on Patreon and YouTube membership. Just $2 a month goes a long way to help the channel. Big thanks to my patrons, Chris Doman, Mars Hunter, Dom Noble, and Brandon Bruce. Thank you guys again for hanging out. And remember, Kid Rock makes deliberate choices for attention. Not all attention is good. Whatever you do, make jokes, retweet stupid shenanigans, laugh at them, but don't listen to Kid Rock.